I'm going to read a couple of passages of scripture to set us off, okay? And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 39 to 40. And I'm reading from the New Jerusalem Bible translation, right? Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. And it says this: when they had done everything the law of the Lord required, they went back to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And as the child grew to maturity, was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. And then in the New King James translation, we read these words: so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we go on to read from the same chapter, Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 52. That's Luke chapter 2 again, right? Verses 46 to 52. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible translation. That's the one I use there. After 3 days, they found him, came upon him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewilderment, wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. And when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Here your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, distressed and tormented." And he said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business?" Verse 50 says, "But they did not comprehend what he was saying to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was habitually obedient to them. And his mother kept and closely and persistently guarded all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in favor with God and man." Are we still in the book of Luke? And Luke chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, and we read this: "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil." Right, okay, Christmas, right, is a distant past. And at Christmas time, right, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. But you know, right, Jesus, he didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He matured. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about growing up, maturing. And right, in the Christian life, that is imperative. We've all got to mature. We've all got to grow up. And right, I'd like to bring to you this morning three principles that are imperative, right, for us to grow up, for us to mature in the Christian life. And the first one is this: being led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God. It is not God's purpose for us to remain permanently as children. There's a lot of, right, in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, children, the word children is mentioned no end of times. But God says this, it's not my purpose for you to remain children always. God has a plan for us to grow up into maturity, into mature sons and daughters of God. But this is where we are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot grow up. We cannot mature. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. The word for sons in this verse is not the same as the word for children, as in other passages. This means a mature son, one who is responsible, who is in control of his life, who knows how to act, and who has authority. It's a different word to children. How do we come to that place of maturity? Paul said, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that is the second great ministry of the Spirit in our lives as members of God's family to mature us. But this comes by one process alone, being led by the Spirit of God. There is no other way to reach maturity, and being led is a continual action. It's a continual present tense. We have to be led continually, every day, every hour, in every situation by the Spirit of God. That is the only way that we can live as mature sons of God. That is the only way that we can grow up. But I'd like to say this. The tragedy in the church today is that countless numbers of people, men and women, teenagers, who have been born again of the Spirit of God, have never learned to be led by the Spirit of God. Consequently, they never reach maturity. They always remain, in some sense, spiritually childish. This result is not because the provision for the maturity process is not there, but it is because they have not understood how to avail themselves of that provision. The provision is to be led by the Spirit of God. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. Paul was led by the Spirit of God. Peter was led by the Spirit of God. And right, they were saved, they came to know Jesus, had a relationship with him, and they grew up, they matured. We have examples in the Scripture of those who were led by the Holy Spirit in different situations. We read about Philip the deacon, not Philip the apostle, but Philip the deacon. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, we read this. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go forward and join yourself to this chariot. Philip was led by the Holy Spirit, and he was led out of a revival situation in Samaria, right? To go and speak to an Ethiopian eunuch and lead him to Jesus. And right, I expect, right, Philip was having a whale of a time, right? He was casting out demons, he was healing the sick, and God said to him by his Spirit, right, I want you to go down to Gaza, which is desert, and speak to this man. So he's led by the Spirit of God. And also we read, right, in Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 and 7 these words. And Paul and Silas passed through the territory of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the word in the province of Asia. They were forbidden. And it says in verse 7 of the same chapter, and when they had come opposite Mysa, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So, right, that would be the first principle, right, for us to, right, mature in the Christian life, is to be led by the Spirit of God. There's no other alternative. There's no other alternative. The next principle is this. And right, this is a hard one. This is a hard one for me, and more probably, it'd be a hard one for you as well. The denial of self-will, or obedience, if you like. That's another word. Right, the distinct function of an Old Testament priest was to offer sacrifice. Thus, being a priest, Jesus had to offer sacrifice. Since he was not a Levite, that's of the tribe of Levi, he could not offer the sacrifices of the law. So he offered his own specific sacrifice, which was prayer. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8 reads, he, Jesus, offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, God the Father, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus' reverent obedience caused the Father to hear his prayers. He learned obedience through suffering. Jesus had to learn obedience, and we have to learn obedience in the same way. We find out what obedience is by obeying. By obeying. Obeying the Spirit, obeying Jesus, obeying God the Father. We do not find it out by listening to sermons on obedience. Those may help us, but obedience has to be worked out step by step. By what? What's the answer? By obeying. By no other way. By obeying. Obedience brings suffering because it demands denial of one's self-will. This self-will, this self of mine. The key phrase in the obedience of Jesus was this: not my will, but yours be done, Father. Thus, Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Every step of obedience in the Christian life is one of self-denial. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's Luke chapter 16 and verse 24. That is painful. It is painful, for the old ego does not like to be denied. Ego says, I want, I'm important, this suits me, I feel good, I don't want, and the like. That's what ego says. That's what my ego says. That's what your ego says. Following the Lord requires continual denial of that ego, that self-will. In the above passage from Hebrews, that's Hebrews chapter 5 that we just quoted, and verses 7 and 8, God was talking to us about coming into maturity through obedience. Growing up, coming into maturity through obedience. Jesus is the pattern. God brought him to maturity, brought him to up to a mature man through obedience. And this is the pathway for you and for me. So that would be the second principle. The third principle is this. The Christian life is an ongoing path. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, and I've quoted a lot of verses from the book of Hebrews this morning, right? And we read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, we read this. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Many Christians have the impression that in the Christian life, you can somehow arrive. You can somehow arrive. Reaching a point where you can settle down and say, now I'm here. I've arrived. But that's not true. That's not true. You don't arrive. You don't settle down. To remain static in the mature spiritual Christian life is almost impossible. And we read this in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. And the phrase, the path of the righteous, the path of the believer, if you like, this morning, the path of the believer, the Christian. And this phrase is not speaking about a specific believer or a group of believers, but about each and every righteous person, every Christian. Every believer, everyone that's been born again. Notice that righteousness is a path. It is not designed for standing still, much less for sitting down. As a path, righteousness implies, what does it imply? A path. It implies motion. It implies progress. It implies development. This path is like the light of dawn when we first come to know the Lord in all his glorious fullness as Savior and Lord. It is like the sun rising after darkness, or like a dawn that comes to our hearts. But dawn is not the end of God's purpose. It is just the beginning. When we are walking in the path of righteousness, the light should always be getting brighter with every step. With each new day, the light should be brighter than it was before until the full day. That is our destination, the height of noonday. And God is not content for us to stop at anything less than the full brightness of noonday. Dawn is our beginning point. The path is the way of progress. And the light gets brighter and brighter, but there is no stopping permitted until we reach the full day. And right, I was pulling this around in my mind, right? What is the full day? What is the full day? We reach the full day, right? And right, the Apostle Paul reached the full day, didn't he? Peter reached the full day. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8 these words. And these are the words of Paul. He'd reached the full day. He'd become a mature man in Christ, and he'd reached that full day. When he says these words, For I am already about to be sacrificed. My life is about to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my spiritual release from the body is at hand, and I will soon go free. And he says these words in verse 7, I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held the faith. As to what remains, henceforth there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness, for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and recompense me on that great day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have loved and yearned and welcomed his appearing, his return. Right, so this morning, if you this morning, want to grow, want to mature in Christ, I suggest, right, that you take the three principles that I've spoke about this morning on board. The first principle is this, being led by the Spirit of God. The second principle is this, the denial of self-will or obedience. The third principle is this Christian life is an ongoing path. We don't arrive in this life. We'll only arrive when we get the glory. That's when we will arrive. We will have arrived then. We don't arrive here. We progress, we mature, we grow up. May the Lord bless you this morning.